and good day, everyone. This is Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic the First Pioneers. This is a podcast all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I'm joined by my co-host,
Ryan Schwenk, the Japan hobbyist out of Tokyo, or the Tokyo area of Japan.
All right. So what we are doing this week, you know, we are right in the middle of Magic M21 spoilers. We don't want to talk about those spoilers just yet until we've got the whole set out, be able to, you know, really talk about what's different. You know, we'll have a great episode coming up soon, and that'll be a long one. So we're trying to just kick out a short one tonight. And what we wanted to talk about is core sets in our past. So, you know, we've been doing this this series kind of on the show here over time, is kind of doing like the planes of Pioneer, talking about what each individual plane really brings to the format in a mechanical stance, in a flavor stance. And, you know, we don't really have a good way to do that with the core sets, but this is kind of our chance to talk about what do the core sets bring to Pioneer? What do we frequently see in them? What do we want to see in them in the future? And, you know, it may not be as tied to flavor, like we're not saying, hey, I want to see more cool cards because of this plane, but it could be more, hey, this is what comes through mechanically and I want to see more of that. This is what makes the format strong. So, do you want to, it's kind of your topic idea, if you want to give a little bit more description of what you really wanted to talk about today, and then we'll start jumping into the hard facts.
Yeah, like you pretty much said it, kind of the basic idea. I wanted to treat this kind of like a planes episode, just kind of going over like our top picks for maybe each color or, you know, each set. And I kind of wanted to discuss, well, we know that already some cards have been reprinted from other sets that we've talked about before. We had like Grafdigger's Cage before, or like Pithing Needle, etc. But there is some design space, some original cards that we find in these core sets that have had quite the impact on Pioneer, and the format would be totally different without them. So the three things that I kind of wanted to talk about today, the first one is kind of, or I wanted to go over the current cards, the stuff that's already playable in Pioneer. So we have M14, M15, M19, and M20, and I want to kind of talk about their impact. And then after that, I wanted to take a look at some of the other core sets that we've had before, maybe from M10, M11, M12, M13, and discuss whether or not some of those cards would be able to be reprinted with the current power creep in, you know, M20 and now M21, as we're seeing. I think we can't really rule out any reprints now. And that's what I would like to kind of discuss. I think that'd be kind of exciting. And then the last thing I wanted to discuss at the end of the podcast is going to be just kind of like our predictions. You know, what's going to happen in future core sets? You know, if this is how they're making sets now, what can we expect in the future? Does that sound good to you?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, great. Now, do you want to start, or would you mind if I started with just a little bit more general before we dive into individual cards?
Sure.
What do you feel like core sets bring to the format that's different from what a plane set, you know, a set that's set on a specific plane or multiple planes does?
I want to say there's a little bit more freedom with the mechanics. They can kind of explore mechanics a lot better. Stuff that maybe isn't really, how can I say, not meta, but they're not really on flavor, I guess. You know, like on Battle for Zendikar, you had Landfall and stuff like that. People are expecting certain types of mechanics in those sets, or something that's graveyard themed, maybe, and the Innistrad block or the Innistrad plane. But you have a lot more freedom to kind of explore, I think, mechanics with core sets, or bring stuff back that maybe you want to flesh out a little bit more.
Yeah, so that's kind of two topics there. Now, as far as actual mechanics, I think that they're a little bit held back on that, because for the most part, they don't really put set mechanics into these core sets. They're trying to keep them at a slightly simpler overall complexity level, so we don't see, you know, 2 to 4 mechanics in the set. Instead, maybe we see one or none, or you know, a partial one. We'll see like a little bit here and there, and that's a little bit unfortunate. You know, we can't just be printing like, oh, here's a Landfall card, here's a whatever card, like you can do with the Modern Masters sets or something like that. But I do agree that there are fewer limitations to the kind of card that they can print. If they want to print cards that are all about burning things down, then they can print those red cards, and it doesn't have to matter if they're on a plane where you can print those kind of cards.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So I get what you're saying there. So then your other point was that there's fewer limitations to what they can reprint. And that's, I think, one of the big things that obviously the core sets bring a lot more than the regular sets is that we actually get reprints. And lately, I think we've been getting a lot of good reprints.
Yeah, I've been very satisfied with M19 and M20. So, you know, they could have just continued to kind of do what they've been doing and I would have been happy. But like, I've just been blown away so far from the M21 spoilers.
Yeah, so they're giving us a lot of answers to things that, you know, it's an important card to print, but if it doesn't fill an important role in the set, it's less likely to be printed in a non-core set. As well as, you know, some of these are going to bring down prices, and I think that's really important. You know, we just saw Ugin reprinted, and that's one of the cards we've been saying is, like, you guys need to put more availability of this card into the hands of Pioneer players.
Yep, exactly. It'll lead, hopefully, to a little bit more brewing, a little bit more deck variety, hopefully, because people aren't being kept away from a deck because one card is, you know, $80.
Yes. So one thing that I've really seen with these core sets as I was going through them prepping for this episode is that it gives a lot of ability to improve individual tribes without it being the full plane is this tribe. So you can print like one good elf card, one good merfolk card, one good spirit card, and it'll power up a format like Pioneer where you can have good cards from across different sets work together even without like obvious synergies.
Yeah.
Being able to do that, I've seen a lot of examples where like great tribal cards have come from one of these core sets, and that makes a whole deck viable that might not have been before.
Yep, exactly. So did you want to start off kind of talking about what cards are currently in Pioneer that are good from the core sets?
Oh, we can. I was trying to throw it back to you if you had one more. I did have one more been seeing a lot of in these core sets.
Sure.
Is they put a lot more color hosers in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's something they used to be doing. They had kind of fallen off, and then they did it back again. I think those are huge. Like, just being able to have those hate cards. Yeah, I mean, M20, I think, particularly had them. But, you know, going back, like, that was always when they would print the, destroy a black creature if you're in black, like, all those kind of things. You know, you think M14 had a great cycle of them.
And the power level is pretty good, too.
Those are some cycles I really like. Yeah, and, you know, those are pretty safe to print most of the time because if there's a good deck, those aren't usually main deckable, but... Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, if you want to jump into it, let's go over the current stuff. Now, again,
how chronological do you want to go?
I mean, I went by color, but if you just have kind of like a few picks you wanted to talk about, that's fine as well.
You'd give me the idea for the episode, and I was kind of going through, I was picking like, oh, here are some of the best cards from each of these core sets. And I didn't want to go, you know, too long today, so we don't need to do like 20 cards from each set. But, you know, a top few or like what the set is bringing. And it was like, oh, this whole cycle is playable, and you can mention that.
Well, since you're probably just going from memory, I'll just name a color and tell me if there's any cards that really kind of stick out to you in the format from this color.
Are you going by set or no?
I'm not going by set. I'm just going...
Oh, man, so, that's complicated. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to, you can take a look at, some links real quick, some spoiler lists. But, okay, let's have you start first. Let's have you tell me what cards that are currently playable in Pioneer have the biggest impact from the core sets.
Well, how about we start with this? If you happen to know, how many banned cards are from core sets?
Most of them? Yeah, like what, Veil, and we have, Nexus, I believe, was another core set card, and... Mm-hmm.
Both of those are. So Veil of Summer, that was M20.
Yeah.
Nexus of Fate, that was M19.
What else do we have that's currently banned? I mean, there's Copter, and then... can you...
I know one more, at least.
Yeah, what's the other one?
So the other one that I know I can think of is Leyline of Abundance.
Yeah, it's another one.
Yeah, so the Ley Lines is something that I wouldn't mind starting with, is that was in Core 2020, and those were, you know, great cards, great reprints for the ones that are reprints, and great additions for the ones that weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. The white and black one, I think, are going to be, like, the best Ley Lines currently in Pioneer.
Well, other than the banned one.
Yeah, that's why it was too good. But yeah, Leyline of Sanctity, Leyline of the Void, I think those are very key cards. Leyline of Sanctity sees play from time to time, but I kind of feel like it's great to have as, like, I guess you would say, like, a stopgap or something. If some deck, like, Burn does become super heavy in the meta, Leyline of Sanctity in the sideboard. or if people are playing...
If there's a weird combo like Charbelcher kind of yeah. thing that you can stop with the Sanctity, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Or now that, you know, we got rid of Companions, or we've weakened Companions a little bit, and if Thoughtseize comes back with the Vengeance, or just any discard effects, then again, Leanna's Sanctity is good to have.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I know of at least one more banned card coming from Corsets. I'm trying to think if this is M19 or M20.
It's a newer card?
Yeah.
Let me I know there's see like Felidar Guardian was the other one.
Is that also M20? Hang on. Yeah, yeah. Clearly we're completely set. Land at the Field of the Dead.
Yes. Was
also M20. Yes, so yes. three banned cards from that set. Good what set, man. Thinking? Good set.
Yeah, it's powerful. Awesome. Okay, so yeah, Leyline of the Void also super good card in Pioneer. 3 of 4 of in sideboard sometimes.
Yeah, I've been seeing a little less play recently, but I think that's because some of the graveyard decks just fell behind other hateable decks.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you think has made a big impact? I mean, like I have a list. I can probably name
15, yeah, why don't you start off? I mean, it's I wish that you had gone by set because that's how I had gone through them.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to do that, that's fine. But I'm basically, it's easy for me to just do color.
Sure.
So like blue, what blue card sticks out the most from a core set, do you think?
Go ahead, what do you got?
Insole Artifact.
Yeah, that's a big one. So when I was looking at M15, Insole Artifact was on my, you know, top three. I was trying to do at least like a top three from each set there.
Yeah.
That one's big, you know. If you're, were you counting Magic Origins? Because I was with Jace Vryn's Prodigy.
I think didn't we talk about Origins already? I'm not sure.
Maybe. Because
I think we might have done that with like Origins and one of the other one-off sets. But
okay,
I could be wrong. But yeah, I didn't count Origins. I think Origins and Dominaria might have been the other one. I'm not sure though.
That might be right. Okay.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So in Soul Artifact. Any other blue cards come to mind for you?
Let me see. Agent of Treachery.
Is that a Pioneer card, though? I know it's really good.
You know,
good.
It's Seize Play, yeah.
Yeah? I mean, I haven't seen it too much, to be honest. So I can't
really
say.
You know, like the Grixis, or not Grixis, Jeskai Fires deck.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of new. Is it the one with, like, Luka in it and stuff like that?
Yeah, Luka.
Okay, so that's kind of like the new hotness, you could say. I haven't really... Mm-hmm. Played against that too much.
And you know, they're blue X, but I think a lot of the spirit cards came from the core sets. So, you know, there's the Spectral Sailor, there's the Supreme Phantom, mm-hmm. there's the Imperial Eagle.
Well, the Eagle's multicolor. I had that in my multicolor choices, yeah. Right.
Well, that's fine.
But yeah.
So you've got a whole multicolor category then.
Yeah, so Supreme Phantom, definitely. That's one of the big cards that's playable from the core sets right now. And again, it wasn't really something that's... maybe it fits... It was supposed to kind of fit in with the other, you know, Innistrad block cards, but... Or say Innistrad plane cards, but it was perfectly fine by itself in the core set.
Mm-hmm.
Enabled so many different strategies. Any black cards bring to mind other than Leyline? Anything from, like, the mono black deck?
So, Knight of the Ebon Legion is a big one.
Yes, Knight, the mono black, right?
Yeah, that deck really helps mono black be a thing. It's miles ahead of any of the other one drops, I think.
Or I think any black aggro deck in general, if you're playing like black red or something like that, you would always go with Knight of the Ebon Legion. It's just a really good card for aggressive mm-hmm. black decks.
Another big one, one of my top cards probably from any of these sets, Stitcher Supplier.
Yeah, definitely for Dredge, totally enables.
Dredge, Rally, you know, it's a good enabler, does a lot of things.
I would also say kind of Sorin, the Imperious Bloodlord, because people still play, you know, the Vampires deck. It's like a tier 2 maybe now.
Hey, that might be, you know, we got a new Vampire in M21 that I'm excited to talk about.
That'll be next week. I don't think I've seen it. Maybe I've seen it, yeah. But yeah, Sorin is another one of my choices. And I would also kind of say Rotting Regisaur.
That's an okay card, yeah.
I mean, 7/6, I've seen people playing it in like a collected company, like a green-black deck that's done decent at events, you know, here in Japan at least.
Sure.
You can't beat a 7/6 for 3. red.
It can certainly beat you. Yeah, I could move to red.
If that's okay.
Let me see what I've got from red, or we want to go ahead.
Goblin Rabble Master.
That's a good one.
It's so awesome. Now we're seeing people talking about Winota and possibly playing.
Yeah, me. I'm talking about Winota any chance I get.
You are. So, like, yeah, Goblin Rabble Master, and then the other new one from, was it Guilds of Ravnica, I think, the Legion War Boss?
Yeah. I mean, that one's from Guilds, but...
Guilds, yeah.
Similar roles.
Yeah, but the...
Shrapnel grades. Blast is one that I've got on my list here.
Yep. That's in Seoul. The Yeshino Pyromancer, another great card for red aggro decks. It hasn't really seen any play recently because of Lurrus, but, you know...
It was seeing play with Lurrus.
Okay, yeah, because there's two. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like it'll have a bigger role now, going back into those mono red decks. And then, of course, we talked about Fry already as one of the great hosers.
Bring that one up as well.
Do you think Lightning Strike deserves to have a spot here?
It probably does. You know, it's tough to say. That is one of those cards that has been printed in a few core sets, but I think deserves kind of a special mention.
I mean, like, it's been, part of mono red forever. Yeah, of course,
Burn decks, I think it was first in Theros, though.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I guess I put that there too. Then, any other red cards?
Its way on. Oh, making this tough for me, but no, I don't think so. That's pretty good.
All right, how about green?
Getting most of my list here.
What green?
I feel
cards?
Like green has a lot.
Yeah.
Why don't you start us off? Because mine are all out of order from how you're doing this.
I'll let you do like one of the more popular ones, and I'll just kind of go with something that's kind of been on the fringe recently, and that's Court of Calling. I still feel like it's a really powerful card, and. Maybe it doesn't have as much of an impact right now, but early on, with elf decks or like any kind of toolbox strategy, you're going to be playing Court of Calling.
Yeah, as far as stuff the M15 brought, that's definitely a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to give a shout out to Vale of Summer because that got banned. some of the Planeswalkers, I think, when we've got Vivian Arcbow Ranger was from a core set. World Waker doesn't really see play. What are the other Planeswalkers we've gotten from these?
And we got the other Vivian, too, right? We had the 5-mana Vivian, the 4-mana Vivian. Trying to think, who else do we have here? I don't know. I can't really think. We have Garrux, I believe, but those really don't see that much player.
Yeah, we've got the 6-mana Garrux, who's real bad.
Yeah, maybe good for EDH, but not good for Pioneer. How about Reclamation Sage? I know, Knight of Autumn has, been...
kind of taking its place.
One.
No, that is a good card, and that was, and that's exactly the kind of card that we're talking about, where it's a good answer card.
Mm-hmm. How about Mana Dorks?
So Elvish Visionary, Elvish Mystic, only really printed in M15. So if we didn't have the core sets, we wouldn't have that amazing accelerator, which is really an important part of the format.
Yeah, especially in those mono green beatdown decks. When you win a play.
Oh, here's another good one I've got is Scavenging Ooze.
Yes, I was going to leave that one for you.
That's a huge one for M14, one of the best cards I think we got from that set, and kind of a staple, sees play all kinds of places.
Yep, all over the place. Any other good green cards?
Oh, putting me out here. I don't mind any of the Cavaliers. I think that they don't see a lot of play, but the green one's not bad.
Yeah, the green one actually showed up in the ramp deck before that just totally got destroyed by every other deck in the format.
Voracious Hydra as well, that's another M21.
Which one's that again?
The green axe that either doubles the counters or fights something.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. I haven't seen that too much in Pioneer, but it is a good card. So.
It's been always in Pioneer. Early on it was in the Scales and the Green Devotion decks, and kind of still are in those.
How about let's just put the rest together? So artifacts, lands, multicolor cards. Any other cards you think deserve a mention?
Did we skip blue and white?
I talked about blue. We talked about Insul Artifact and Supreme Phantom.
Okay, we skipped white.
White, we talked about Leyline of Sanctity. I didn't really think there was anything else to talk about.
Oh, I mean, there's got to be some things in here that are good.
Like,
A couple more Spirits cards. We had the one that exiles the graveyard.
Yeah, I guess that's not bad.
Put me on a spot here. There's got to be some good white cards. I know that white has been kind of a meme lately. Yeah, Remorseful Cleric.
Isolate is a good sideboard card, I guess. I've seen a
lot
of
it. It has been
seen
play,
decks.
Which, it does surprise me.
Return to the Ranks, maybe? I think
I had that included.
So, what deck is that seen play in? Is that kind of like part of the Rally deck, or was
the Abzan Rally deck? Yeah, it was a Lurrus Abzan Rally deck. Ooh, yeah, you're right. White seems to not make out that well from Brave the Elements. That's a good one.
Yeah. I had God's Willing, but that's kind of originally a Theros card. So, Raise the Alarm, I kind of like as well.
True.
Yeah, I feel like taking a look at what is currently seeing play in Pioneer, white is sad.
Like we, yeah, a little bit. Oof.
We said it before, and like white just needs better cards, and white has not been getting good cards at all. So they're kind of falling behind the other colors. Anything else though in artifact lands or multicolor?
Oh yeah, plenty in multicolor. What, again, go ahead.
Well, you said Empyrean Eagle already, so yeah, that's in spirits. Mm-hmm. That was a really good card to. Basically,
yeah, when I'm in M20, I'd also see Risen Reef. You know, that's an Elementals mm-hmm. card. Kethys, that had kind of a whole combo deck. You yep. know, it's one of my favorite decks.
Nicol Bolas, the Ravager, great card for Grixis mid range, but again, not really seeing a lot of
kind
play.
Kind of falling off, but definitely one of the biggest cards I would say from that set, mm-hmm. as far as just being a big card.
Mm-hmm. I mean, lands. If you look at any of the monocolor decks.
Well, yeah, so Mutavault.
Yeah, Mutavault's been great. It's kind of sad that it hasn't seen so much play recently, you know, just because of, I guess, how people have been building the aggro decks with Luris. You can't really
Yeah,
play.
Definitely making a comeback. You know, Mono Black is making a comeback now that Luris has fallen by the wayside, and that's still obviously a 4-of in that deck. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the top deck in the format, or one of the top decks, the combo decks. Yeah.
Inverter deck? Oh, you mean Lotus Breach.
So Lotus Field.
Yeah, Lotus Field came from these.
M19, right?
No, that was M20 as well.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
Yep. That and Field of the Dead.
So that's another good card that's had a big impact on Pioneer. Would you say Urborg, Tomb of Yawgmoth, has been pretty good?
Oh, definitely. That's huge. M15 had a couple good lands. It had that. It had Darksteel Citadel. It had Radiant Fountain.
And I think that's like the only way it's gotten into Pioneers because of M15, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So M15, big impact.
Yeah, maybe we'll see that reprint in the future, but I don't know if it'll be in a standard set.
What are artifacts? Anything you think deserves a mention?
You know, Crucible of Worlds is kind of cool. Hasn't really seen any play. I don't remember if Grafdigger's Cage was in Pioneer before M20.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Was it in an older one?
M20 was the first time it showed up. But I would definitely say that it's one of the best artifacts in the sideboard from that. Because
we had Tormod's Crypt, we had Phyrexian Revoker. Those have both been reprinted now, but those are exactly the kind of cards that we expect to see in these core sets, mm-hmm. which adds to the format.
And Steel Overseer.
Ornithopter. Oh, yeah, Steel Overseer was cool.
Yeah, it was a good reprint, I think. That kind of allowed people to do the Hardened Scales deck a little bit differently.
A little bit.
What about Golos, Timeless Pilgrim, or Tireless Pilgrim?
Yeah, I mean, he was mostly only good when Field was a legal deck.
Yeah, he's good in Field, and I think some people were playing the, what was the energy deck? I can't remember. It was so good before, now it's not. Aetherworks Marvel. There
Maze's
go.
End? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Maze's End is another good one, but he's better for fringe stuff, but he's definitely had an impact on brewing, I would say.
And you know we're both brewers.
Yeah, I think that I don't know if there's any other cards that I would say that are currently legal that have had a big impact. I think we kind of touched on most of them.
Okay.
So I kind of want to look at the older cards now. This is kind of more exciting for me. Just taking a look at everything from M10, M11, M12, M13. Real quick, before we get into this, how has the core set design kind of changed over the years, do you think? I don't know if you were playing
it. I think it's
gotten
a lot better. I think that they've stopped making it that core sets are just weaker, which is what they certainly used to do. Now they are a little bit simpler, certainly, but I think the power level is there. The willingness to reprint old cards is there, and both those things are great.
Like, I feel like, I mean, I got started in M12. That was, like, my first core set. And then M13 was just a huge downgrade. Like, it sucked away so much power from the format. M14 and M15 as well, like, kind of, maybe M13 was, like, the low point, I think. And then 14 and 15 got a little bit better, but they're still very underpowered. And then they stopped totally. And then when we came back to 19 and 20, huge jump in power, huge power creep.
Yeah, they're a lot less disappointing. And, you know, and it really hurt standard formats back when they were bad because the decks that were good would continue to be good for a whole extra format because of that.
Yeah, so basically no one was buying new cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's take a look. If you don't mind, let's move on to our best cards, our favorite cards from those older core sets.
Like, all right. What... This is more on you, I think, to kind of get us going. But I'll play by ear and join you on this.
All right. So I'll just name cards. I kind of went down the list of all the cards that I thought should see play that aren't too powerful. That's how I made my choices.
Okay.
So for example, Acidic Slime.
Sure. Yeah.
5 mana. I mean, for a lot of people that don't know what it is, it's 5 mana green card. When it comes into play, it destroys a land, an artifact, or an enchantment, I believe.
Yep. Artifact, land, enchantment.
Yeah. Right. So I feel like this really is not overpowered, even with blinking effects. Like if you were to have something like a blue green with Thassa, it bounces back at the end of turn. I don't think it would see a lot of play. But its ability is so strong. I mean, it gives you that reclamation stage plus, you know, that land destruction, which is really big if you're trying to take out cards like, I guess not. We can't really hit Lotus Field unless we have something to control the Hexproof. But
yeah. The
other big cards in the format, like Mutavault, we said, or what would be another...
You're pushing this out early and it can destroy a land. That's pretty nasty. It's one of those cards that used to be good. I don't know if it would live up right now, but what's always nice about it is that it has Death Touch, so it then trades for another creature.
Exactly.
Usually.
So just a good value overall. It does so much. It's not one of the cards that would take over a format, but it would be a welcome addition, I think.
As long as you're in green, I just wanted to mention, because I was really hoping that one of the two older Garruks would have been reprinted in this newest core set. Garruk Wildspeaker, I think, would be great in the format. It untaps lands, which would be cool with Nykthos. You know, it has an overrun effect, which we don't really have a good 4-mana green walker. Or the 5-mana one is also really cool, you know, makes beasts. Mm-hmm. It's just a good card, and I would love to play the minus alongside Galta. So that one has a -3 to draw cards equal to the power of the greatest power among creatures you control. So you can play that with Galta, draw 12. Seems decent in green.
So that was M12 or M11?
I think that one was 12 and 13, and the older Galta or the older Garruk was 11 and 10.
Yeah, so the 4 mana one was 11 and 10, right? And the 5 mana one was 13, 14.
Yeah, either one of those would have been fun.
Yeah. Okay, let me make this a little bit easier for you then. Instead of just going through my list, do you think we need more tribal support? Because I know there's a lot of good tribal cards.
I think that
cards.
The old, yeah, if we're looking at the old core sets, you know, some of the, I know there's like a Goblin Lord. Let me quick
Goblin,
jump through
Goblin
my notes
Chieftain.
Here. Yeah, Chieftain, because we don't have that one. We've got the one that reduces mana by one, right?
Yeah. So Goblin Chieftain, I believe it's what, +1/+1 to all goblins, and I want to say they get haste as well.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
I'm dying for a Elvish Archdruid for elves.
Yeah. Would that be too powerful, though, you think?
I don't think so. I don't think that would push elves over the edge. They're needing some things, I think, still to get fully off.
Yeah, I would totally be okay with that then.
And it's a 3 mana, so.
Yeah. So big mana. But you had to play elves. Which is kind of better than like the problem we had with the abundance decks, is that you just play whatever green cards you want, basically.
Yeah. What blue... Were there any of the Merfolk Lords
in
blue?
Yes, Master of the Pearl Trident. I think he was
there
from M12.
That would be huge.
Maybe it's M14 even.
No, he's not in Pioneer.
So +1/+1 to all Merfolk and Island Walk. And I wonder if they haven't been reprinting them just because they've kind of stayed away from like all the landwalk creatures.
Yeah, they have, and that makes sense. Merfolk Sovereign was also in M11.
M11. What's Merfolk Sovereign?
That one's +1/+1, and for as 3 mana, and it can tap to give a creature unblockable. So I think M10, M11 had a cycle of them.
Mm-hmm.
So M10 had the Archdruid, it had Goblin Chieftain, had that, it had a really bad soldier lord and a pretty mediocre zombie lord.
Yeah, I remember those now. I would definitely, like, we've always been wondering, hey, when are Merfolk going to be good? We always think they're going to be good, you know, Ixalan or whatever, but they're lacking. Basically, in Modern, the only reason they're good is because every card is a lord.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Or like a cantrip.
All right, here we go. Pearl Trident was M13.
Yeah, M13. There we go.
Took me a minute.
So we have the Goblin Chieftain for goblins. We have the Master of the Pearl Trident for merfolk. We had the Elvish Archdruid for elves. Any other tribal stuff you think we could reprint?
I mean, like, Vampire Nocturnus is a fun card. I don't know if that would ever
That's get four mana. I was thinking, what about Captivating Vampire? I think that was the one that gives all vampires +1/+1, and, like, I think it's three mana, maybe two.
I don't know if I know that
three.
One.
And, like, you can tap five vampires, untapped vampires you control, to take control of another creature.
Okay.
I believe that's correct. I can double check if people want to give me a minute here. But I...
That sounds like a card.
Do vampires already have enough? That's kind of the question I want to ask. Would that be make them too strong?
Maybe. You know, the four mana, the Nocturnus might be too much. I don't think that a three mana lord would be anything that pushes them over. I mean, they have a two mana lord that they're not currently playing.
Two mana lord. Which one? For
the black white one, because they're in mono black.
Yeah. True. I mean, I think if you were playing Captivating Vampire, it would be something that would be more in the black-white with tokens to make it easier to just take control of everything.
Yeah, you want to roll a little wider. Okay.
Yeah, so I think that'd be okay to print then.
So how about let's talk the Titans? Because that's kind of a classic reprinted in
I did not have them on my list because I thought they'd be
You don't have them in your list?
I thought they'd be too strong, but tell me why you don't think they're too strong.
Well, the only one that's generally considered too strong is Primetime.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything abusable in Pioneer. Like, what would he grab that would be too unfair?
Lotus? I don't know. I mean, you can pump him out, put him out real quick with Lotus Breach if you're making tons of mana.
Yeah, but you can just win the game if you're pumping out tons of mana with Lotus Breach.
True. I don't know if there's any big targets. It's that 6/6 trample is just nasty. And I would totally hate to play against Grave Titans as well.
That's a fun card. So I'm going to quick look at some of the other Planeswalkers. So it was kind of a big thing that every year they would reprint, you know, kind of the same Planeswalkers. All of the core set Planeswalkers were pretty mediocre. You know, we had Chandra Nalar was reprinted a few times, Chandra the Firebrand, Liliana the Dark Realm. I don't think any of these really... Jace Bellerin maybe could see play as a 3-mana one, but that's even pretty mediocre. Maybe alongside Narset, I guess that's interesting. Gideon Jura was never great. You know, Johnny Caller the Pride, I think we got again already in M14. Let me double check that. Yeah, so that's one of the best ones, and we got it again, so not much there. So other than the Garuks, I don't think that there's a lot that I would be dying for. Yeah, not really. So that's something I'm glad they're doing a little bit better. Now, as far as the latest set... We'll talk about the latest set next week. I was going to say that I liked what they did with M20 and Planeswalkers and kind of M19 before it, is that they were making generic Planeswalkers that are good in very specific decks. You know, you think Liliana Untouched by Death, just good in Zombies. Sarkhan Fireblood, just good in Dragons. Things like that. You know, the Sorin that's only good in Vampires. And they kind of undid that with 21, so maybe I'll mention that. But I like it when they do... If they're trying to do a slightly less powerful Planeswalker, I think that M20, M19 are a good way to look at that as the right way to be doing things moving forward. Just kind of gave my thoughts on those. So I'm looking at older cards. What else do you have that you really want to mention? Because there are, you know, onesie-twosies here that are just good cards. But is there anything that's kind of a cycle or a broader idea that are coming from these old sets you'd really like to see them touch on some more?
Cycle-wise, no. I don't think there's a lot of cards that I want to see. I think there's a lot of one-offs that I would... like to have back. We've been talking about trying to get a Path to Exile type card back in Pioneer. And they did it perfectly, I think, in one of the past sets. I want to say it's M11. There's a white card, one mana, instant, that had pretty much the same effect as Path to Exile, but not as... How can I say overpowered?
Oh, Condemn? Yeah, Condemn's a great card.
Yes. Is that...
We've been saying that would be fun.
Yeah.
No. That is M11. So it's put an attacking creature on the bottom of its owner's library, and its controller gains life equal to its toughness.
Yeah. Why not reprint that?
So more like swords than like...
Yeah.
But the fact that it still has to be an attacking creature really balances that.
And the other question I had, you know, we banned the Veil of Summer. Autumn's Veil is kind of similar. One mana, green mana. So one green mana, it's an instant, I believe, and I want to say that your spells can't be countered this turn, and protection from black and blue, I want to say.
That sounds about right.
But is that something like that? Is that going to create more problems? Is that going to create the same problems?
No, I don't think that that would create problems at all, because it doesn't draw a card like Veil of Summer does.
And it doesn't give you Hexproof either. So yeah. That would be fair, you think?
Yeah, I think that would be fair.
So you can still combo off or whatever if that's what you wanted to do. Yeah, it says spells you control can't be countered by blue or black spells, and the creatures you control can't be targets of blue or black spells. So it gives all your creatures Hexproof.
To blue and black, yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't mind seeing that back. Any other good cards? If we're talking about powering up white, I think there's a lot of white cards that could be reprinted that would be very helpful.
Okay, that interests me. What do you think that would be good reprints from white?
Grand Abolisher is one that I would like to see back.
Okay, so that's 2 mana, 2/2. During your turn, opponents can't cast spells, activate abilities of artifacts, creatures,
yes,
or enchantments.
Yes. So really slows down, other aggressive decks, I think, or like tempo decks, especially something like, Spirits. And yeah, I think it would make like the white mid-range decks a little bit better.
So, okay.
And maybe like Mardu or something.
Same set, I see Honor of the Pure. That's a 2-mana buff. That's white creatures you control get +1/+1.
And we haven't really had good anthems recently, I think. Everything's been 3-mana or 4-mana or 5-mana even. So I wouldn't mind seeing something like Honor of the Pure back. Maybe that would help out with tokens, because I know in Modern, when black-white tokens was a thing, they were playing Honor of the Pure because you had stuff like... What was it? Spirits Maker. I can't remember. Flashback.
The one that's huge in Modern?
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Yeah. Right now, I'm not thinking Modern at all. Sorry.
Yeah, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, the Flashback Sorcery from...
You're all screaming it at us, I'm sure.
Yeah. any other cards? How about... Oh, some of the... On the heavy side, I wouldn't mind seeing something like Thundermaw Hellkite.
Okay. When I was looking at white still, Timely Reinforcements is one we just talked about because it's in Historic.
Yep,
that would be another good one. That's a very core set kind of card.
Yeah. Other than what? Angelic Destiny. How about that one? The +4/+4. And also I wanted...
Sounds expensive. What is that?
It's a +4/+4, 4-mana. And I want to say your creature becomes an angel, and maybe first strike as well, I think, is part of it. Let me check real quick. So yeah, it gets +4/+4, has flying first strike, and is an angel. And when the creature dies, you return Angelic Destiny, the enchantment, to your hand.
Well, as long as we're talking about that cycle, I think you got to mention Rancor.
I thought of that, but is that too strong?
No, I don't think Rancor would be too strong for current Pioneer.
Okay. I mean, I always worry about like not having the great removal. We have Fatal Push, yes, but we don't have a lot of other early removal. We don't have
do have a lot of bounce spells, I think, which are particularly good against Rancor.
Mm-hmm. I guess so, but like we don't have like a lightning bolt. We don't really have Path to Exile, sure, like we said. So I think some decks would struggle with it.
Yeah. All right, I think this topic we're kind of getting silly on. Why don't we try and wrap it up? We didn't want to go too deep on these core sets, but we did want to talk about what we liked and what we'd like to see in the future.
Yeah, so as for the last part today, so like I said at the beginning of the podcast today, do you think the power creep that we've seen recently is good or bad for the Pioneer format?
Oh, I think it's great. I think that they're good, generically good cards. They're not a lot of cards that are like, oh, I'm only going to make, energy a powerful deck. It's, hey, I'm going to make white decks better. Or I'm going to make black decks better. I'm going to make graveyard decks better. I think that it's great. I think I really like the latest core sets. I'm pretty excited about this new set coming out.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about not M21, but for the future now. What are your predictions?
M22.
Yeah. So, like, how do you see... core sets continuing from here on out. So like what's going to happen in 22, what's going to happen in 23, 24, etc.
I mean, really hard to say. I mean, I hope that they continue with, five planeswalkers. I hope they continue with good reprints, big flashy spells at Mythic, and good playable stuff at Rare.
I would actually like to see Wizards try to balance out the colors more. I feel like,
okay, yeah.
Like we said, I feel like white has been losing the battle They haven't really been able to be played. Most cards in white aren't played, I would say. You know, black is strong. Blue is always strong. Green, Pioneer has basically been, you know, like the green format, I would say.
Yeah. You know, I talked about, I think in one of the podcasts, I was saying like, hey, you know, they printed Banishing Light in white, but they printed it in a set where every single deck has enchantment removal because it was an enchantment set.
Mm-hmm.
So I had said they should have done like a 2-mana one that can only hit 3 or CMC or less, and then they printed that in black as an instant in this coming set. So I wish they had just done that as like a white enchantment.
Yeah, so that's something I'd like to see. Like I said, more balance. I think that would just make for fairer metagames or more balanced metagames where people aren't all buying, you know, the green blue decks because of Uro or whatever, you know, the super powerful cards, and nothing stops it, so you just play the best cards. I don't want that
so much Uro.
The last thing I wanted to talk about today regarding
more
well, I mean the last thing it's kind of like this last part here, and we talked about reprints today, stuff we'd like to see back from the older formats, and you know what they're making currently in M2021. Should they follow any specific rules when they're choosing what to bring? So, for example, I thought that, you know, the Titans were too strong. I feel that they'd be too format warping, and, you know, they just take over games too easily, and there's not good removal for them. So I wouldn't reprint stuff like those.
Maybe if I had a wish, I wish that they would be willing to reprint cards that, or, you know, print or reprint cards that have abilities, you know. They did a little bit of that in the latest M21 we're going to talk about. You know, they have a couple cards with prowess. They have the one card with phasing. I wish that they would do a little bit more of that. You know, if they need to print one landfall card because they need to be able to print it and it's a good card, like, they should be able to print it. Or, like, if we want to put Noble Hierarch, I think you should just be able to drop it in a core set. And even though it has Exalted, that's fine.
Or should we be seeing more functional reprints? Would you like to see something that's, you know, can make the you know, three colors, it's 0/1, but it doesn't have Exalted?
Yeah, maybe. That could be reasonable.
I mean, that's another thing.
And it sounds like they were thinking about Birds of Paradise, but that got cut.
Yeah, see, Birds of Paradise has another card that I thought was just kind of too powerful, so.
Yeah, that'd be a little insane. Alrighty, I think that probably wraps us up for the day. Guys, we're really excited. Next week we're going to be talking about spoilers. That's one of our favorite things. I think, did we book our guy
yet? Yeah, we got it. We got our guest come, Jonathan, hopefully, we'll be back, so.
So Jonathan Medina will be joining us again. That'll be good. And sorry, I got a dog barking in the background.
So hopefully everyone's kind of enjoyed this episode as kind of a warm-up for, you know, more core craziness next week.
Yeah, fun stuff. All right, so I'm going to wrap us up. You can find me at MTG Pioneer. That's the best way to reach out to me. You can find me in a Pioneer Facebook group. We're on Discord. We've got the first Pioneers Discord. We're also active on the Pioneer Discord if you guys are in that one. Or the Reddit MTG Pioneer. So a lot of good ways to find us and reach out.
And for me, you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, YOSCHWENKY. You can find me on my blog, www.thejapanhobbyist.com. And I also hang around on the First Pioneers Discord as well. So if you need to chat with me right away, just, you know, post on there.
All right, guys, that wraps us up. We are the First Pioneers, the podcast all about the Pioneer format. Thank you and good day.